Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, on page 921. Matthew 9, verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat and crossed over and came to his own town. Some men brought him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take up your mat and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to human beings. Last night I was saying grace at a dinner not far from here, where a large city charity had a whole lot of people to dinner. And of course it's always good if the local vicar's there. It adds an air apparently of respectability, which those of you who know me well will find an extraordinary assertion. Nevertheless, that was what was used. I went to say grace. It was a wonderful evening. And the interesting thing was, I found myself sitting next to a woman I'd known 35 years ago. She'd since, of course, married a very successful person. Which, of course, she didn't actually say that, but nevertheless, I'm sure that's what she felt. But it was quite extraordinary. She'd obviously lived a stress-free life in spite of having three sons, because she looked as wonderful last night as she had done that day I first saw her in Durham in 1983. And she was just as nice. It was the most extraordinary, you'd have known her, Ed, actually, it's your most extraordinary experience. Anyway, we had a great laugh. And one of the things this charity did was they gave every lady who came there a wonderful gift. And she said, "We go to a lot of these things." I said, "Oh, well done." And she said, "Well, we've never been treated as well as we have done tonight. And on top of it all, to get this wonderful gift," I said, "Well, the chap who runs it is very generous, because he's paid for all of this. And during last month, he held a wonderful lunch on a boat on the Thames. Paid for it all." I said grace there, really, just to make it respectable. And he said he is, and she just couldn't get over this extraordinary generosity. And actually, as we read these verses in Matthew chapter 9, what it's all about is the sheer generosity of God. The generosity of God seen on that day in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to know here, this lunchtime, that he hasn't changed. He wants us to know his generosity today, before we go back to, sadly, I can't give you all a gift. I'm not in the same earnings brackets as the chap who was in the chair that night. But he wants us to know his generosity, and to be so struck by that generosity, as that woman was last night, that we begin to reflect the generosity of Jesus to other people. The day began, of course, with generosity on behalf of that paralyzed man's friends, as we read in verse 2. They must have become increasingly desperate over the years about his situation and the terrible impact that it had had on his life. And because they cared so much, they wanted to do something for him. They were absolutely determined to bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Determined to do so because they were confident that Jesus could heal their friend. Indeed, in verse 2, Jesus picked that up when he says when Matthew records him as thinking Jesus saw their faith. Jesus realized that those men knew that he could make a difference to their friends. Jesus' response was immediate, of course, if somewhat enigmatic. Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven, he said. Their immediate reaction must have been to feel, well, that's not quite what we wanted, actually, Jesus. Lovely that you've forgiven his sins, but what we really want is for him to walk again. But Jesus was addressing what was deeply wrong with that man. There was in him some sense of guilt, real or imagined, that had caused the paralysis, and Jesus knew that. Didn't just want to deal with the superficial, but wanted to deal with what was at the heart of the problem. Of course, it was a controversial thing to say, as his critics among the teachers of the law made very clear very quickly. But Jesus didn't get into a futile argument with them. He knew they'd never be convinced by anything. So to show that he had authority to forgive sins, he said, get up and walk. In his generosity, Jesus not only vindicated the trust of those friends, but also highlighted why he could do it. This wasn't a one-off magical gesture. It was an invitation to see God at work in Jesus. And just to emphasize this, he didn't use the usual word for get up when he talked to the man. Instead, he used the one that Christians were to begin to use 2 years later to describe the resurrection. This just wasn't a miracle of physical healing. The Lord Jesus was calling the man to an experience of a new quality of life as a result of having met Jesus. The man's experience that day reminds us of the generosity that God shows in Jesus, the generosity he showed to that man, the generosity that probably all of us here have known as God has been generous to us in Jesus Christ. He knows that life is sometimes very complicated and not at all easy, and wants to renew our experience of his generosity again and again. What are we feeling like today? Have we experienced the generosity of Jesus, just as those friends did? Are we confident that he wants us to be generous? I look around, actually, and see some people here going through nightmares, actually, at the moment. And I particularly want to say to you, don't give up, because Jesus wants to be generous. And as we experience that, we'll find ourselves instinctively wanting to reflect that generosity to other people, bringing them to Jesus, initially in prayer, and then perhaps in conversation, as those men did that day.